The first scripture reading for this sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy. It's on page 221. And we read Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's on page 1220 in your pew Bibles. And we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1035. And we read Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for this morning. And though it was called the gospel lesson, there wasn't, if you will, a lot of gospel in it. You know, we use the term gospel in different ways. One way is just to refer to those four records of the life of Jesus found in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are the Gospels. But more properly speaking, when we use the term gospel, we're referring to a particular word of God. The word gospel literally means good news. When we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about the words of God that are his gifts to us, his promises to us, especially the gifts of forgiveness and eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. And there wasn't a word of that in our gospel lesson for this morning. It was all law. It was the demands that God makes upon us and the threats that he makes to us if we don't live up to his righteous commands. You heard the word hell a lot in the gospel lesson for this morning. But even though there was no, properly speaking, gospel in the gospel lesson today, it does help us to understand what it is that God is actually trying to accomplish with his gospel. And it's not just a reformation of the way that we live on this earth. The goal of the gospel is to change the human heart. The word heart occurs many times in Scripture, but the first time that it occurs is in Genesis chapter 6. It's just before God determines to destroy the earth with a flood in the days of Noah. And it reads in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how God sees our hearts. And that was one that was the reason that in the days of Noah, he destroyed almost all of the earth, except a family of eight, which he preserved, because ultimately it's not God's will that man be destroyed. His ultimate will is that man be saved. But that can't be accomplished just by getting us to do good things. The real problem of humanity is the heart. And you know, you can really be good on the outside and still have on the inside a heart full of hate and anger and meanness. This was brought home to me many years ago when I was still in seminary. I was taking some summer coursework at MD Anderson Cancer Research Institute in Houston, Texas. It was a chaplaincy training program. And the work was essentially this. You went around and visited patients for most of the day. And then you'd gather together, and once or twice a week, each of us in our group would present a visit that we had with one of the patients. It was called a verbatim. And what you would do is you'd sit down after a particular visit and you'd write down everything that you said and then everything that that person said. And as best as you could, you'd try to fill in the gaps with, you know, body language and all those other things. And then you'd gather together and the group would listen to the conversation that you described, and then they'd try to pick you apart. The leader of our group, a guy by the name of Ed Monkey, was particularly adept at, if you will, reading between the lines. And as he would listen to the visit that you'd have, he'd ask, if you will, penetrating questions. Why'd you say that way? Did you notice how that person reacted when you said this? Many were the time that each one of us in our group would go in and present a verbatim to the group, feeling quite proud about the visit that we have, and then when we walked out, we felt about this big. The man was, if you will, brutally honest and adept at discerning things. In the group that I had, there was a nun. Her name was Sister Pauline. She was in her late 50s or maybe early 60s even. Kindest woman you would ever want to meet. If we all wanted to grow out and have a little party and somebody would had to stay behind, she'd volunteer to do it. Anything you needed, Sister Pauline was more than ready to do. A very meek, compliant, humble individual. Give you the shirt off her back if she had to. But one day we found out a little bit about Sister Pauline's heart. I was going through one of those verbatims, and Ed Monkey was at his finest on that day. He started pushing her buttons, and finally he pushed one. And if you've ever been next to a volcano erupting, that was kind of like it was in that room. Yes. On the outside, she was kind and humble. But on the inside, she wanted to wring your neck. She had learned to be the way that she was growing up in an abusive household. If she offered an opinion that wasn't to the liking of her parents, a nice slap across the face was commonplace. She was treated cruelly as a child. And the only way she survived was to be compliant and humble and meek. And she hated being that way. And finally, one day, she revealed to our group how much she hated it. And the times she wanted to slap us across the face, and the times that we were mean and cruel to her and didn't care one ounce about her. As I said, a volcano erupting is somewhat like it was that day. And none of us had a clue to what was going on inside of that heart of hers, encased by a body of kindness and love and humility. We've all been that way. We present ourselves to the world as trying to be good. But have you ever said something nice to someone and underneath your breath you were muttering something else? Ever done an act of kindness? Helped out somebody who needed some help but said, "Man, I wish they'd leave me alone." Yeah, we can present ourselves as kind and good, outwardly obedient to the commandments God has given us, but man, our hearts are sometimes far from what the rest of the world sees. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When Jesus described the law of God in our gospel lesson for today, he wasn't just attacking the deeds of man, he was attacking the heart. Thou shalt kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But even if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. You don't have to do anything, you just have to feel something. If you look at someone with a bad thought, but don't do anything, guilty. Oh, what wretched people we really are. And how do you change hearts like ours? The law of God was meant not to change us, but to reveal who we really are. It is the gospel, the good news, that alone can change these evil and wicked hearts that we have. You don't make someone loving by telling them, "You better be loving or else." God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. How do you change the human heart? The law that we got in the gospel lesson exposes what it really is like. But it is in the good news, knowing how deeply we are loved, even when we've been loveless. In God demonstrating his faithfulness to us, even when we've been faithless. It is in God holding out his redeeming and loving hands to us, even though so many times we've slapped it away. That's how human hearts are changed. When we were unwilling to sacrifice for others, God was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. He goes to his son and he asks him to come into this world, to take on our human flesh, pay for our sins, that in his sacrifice, God might give freely to you and to me and to anyone who will receive it forgiveness and love and life. And it's by those things that God creates in us a new heart that goes on living along with that old heart until the day we die or Christ comes again, when that old heart is finally killed, that heart of flesh. And God gives us a new life, free from sin and free from death. That's how God has changed you and me. But what we need to remember is that if we want somebody else that we know to be changed, the formula for accomplishing that is not simply to tell them, well, you know, this is what you need to do. You want to get your life turned around? Do this. It didn't work for us. It's not going to work for others. The thing we need to share with others who need to change their lives is that one thing that changes hearts. The good news. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in the sharing of his faithfulness, of his gifts, of his love, of his hope. That's what changed your hearts and mine. And that's the only thing that can change anyone else's heart. Yes, we do need on occasion, quite a few occasions, in fact, to refer to God's law as a means of helping people out. But we need to remember that the real goal of the law is not to change behavior, but the goal of the law is to convict human hearts. And what changes ultimately human behavior is changing the heart. And that is only done through the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.